If you no longer have leaves or bark or roots, can you go on calling yourself a tree? I am a peasant, I said to myself, and not a geisha at all any longer. It was a frightening feeling to look at my hands and see their roughness. To draw my mind away from my fears, I turned my attention again to the truckloads of soldiers driving past. Weren't these the very American soldiers we'd been taught to hate and who had bombed our cities with such horrifying weapons? Now they rode through our neighborhood, throwing pieces of candy to the children. Within a year after the surrender, Mr. Arashino had been encouraged to begin making kimono once again. I knew nothing about kimono except how to wear them, so I was given the task of spending my days in the basement of the workshop annex, tending to the vats of dye as they boiled. This was a horrid job, partly because we couldn't afford any fuel but tadon, which is a kind of coal dust held together by tar. You cannot imagine the stench when it burns. Over time, Mr. Arashino's wife taught me how to gather the proper leaves, stems, and bark to make the dyes myself, which may sound like something of a promotion, and it might have been, except that one of the materials, I never found out which, had the strange effect of pickling my skin. My delicate dancer's hands, which I'd once nurtured with the finest creams, now began to peel like the papery outside of an onion and were stained all over the color of a bruise. During this time, impelled probably by my own loneliness, I became involved in a brief romance with a young tatami maker named Inoue. I thought he looked quite handsome with his soft eyebrows like smudges on his delicate skin and a perfect smoothness to his lips. Every few nights during the course of several weeks, I sneaked into the annex to let him in. I didn't realize quite how gruesome my hands looked until one night when the fire under the vats was burning so brightly we could see each other. After Inoue caught a glimpse of my hands, he wouldn't let me touch him with them. To allow my skin some relief, Mr. Arashino gave me the task of gathering spider warts during the summertime. The spider wart is a flower whose juice is used for painting the silks before they're masked with starch and then dyed. They tend to grow around the edges of ponds and lakes during the rainy season. I thought gathering them sounded like a pleasant job, so one morning in July, I set out with my rucksack ready to enjoy the cool, dry day. But soon, I discovered that spiderworts are devilishly clever flowers. As far as I could tell, they'd enlisted every insect in western Japan as an ally. Whenever I tore off a handful of flowers, I was attacked by divisions of ticks and mosquitoes, and to make matters worse, one time I stepped on a hideous little frog. Then, after I'd spent a miserable week gathering the flowers, I took on what I thought would be a much easier task, of squeezing them in a press to extract their juices. But if you've never smelled the juice of a spiderwort, well, I was very glad at the end of the week to go back to boiling dyes once again.